Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK, Hank, numerically, 888-275-4265. Well, I just got back from the Cancer Center. The doctor, my doctor, Dr. Ghosh, who is one of the great doctors, a specialist in my particular disease, mantle cell lymphoma, someone that I appreciate so much. But he read my CT scan and my PET scan, and I was very, very encouraged. The scans of my body show that all of my tumors are shrinking, and most of them are not even measurable anymore. And so the clinical trial that I'm in right now with two drugs, ibrutinib and venetoclax, are working tremendously well. And I'm deeply grateful for that and for the prayers of God's people. I'm thankful that my blood work turned out perfect. I mean, absolutely perfect. My hemoglobin was above 14, for example. And all the indicators were absolutely perfect in concert with a healthy person. And so again, I thank people for their prayers and for standing with me in this ministry, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. I'm greatly encouraged today as I kick off the broadcast. There's a lot I want to say, but let me go to the phone calls first. First, Susanna, listening in Seattle, Washington, on KKMC. Hi, Susanna.
Yes. Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, thank you for calling me. I don't have a question, but I have a comment. I heard you talking about how universities are very hostile against Christians and conservatives. I am an instructor at the University of Washington, and I am a Christian, and I am a conservative. And at this moment, I am on probation. I am, because of my Christian beliefs, I am being discriminated against, and the administration, the director, they are trying to get rid of me and shut me down and take away my freedom of speech.
Well, Susanna, unfortunately, as Christians, that is precisely what we are going to face in this epoch of time. And I was talking to the author of one of the books that I'm recommending, John Dickerson, the book Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World. And he was talking during that interview, that podcast that I was doing with him today, about how it is true that no matter how difficult the situation becomes, God is bigger than the situation. And we were actually talking about Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman that helped hide Jews during World War II. And she, along with her sister Betsy, were relegated to a concentration camp. And they suffered horrendous evils. And during one of the most difficult times in her life, Betsy, who died in that communist Nazi prison camp, she said, "There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still," in her Dutch brogue. And that's exactly true. It doesn't matter whether it's a physical malady that we're facing, as I was just talking about at the opening of the show with my own cancer. I find that in the most difficult circumstances, that God is bigger than those circumstances, that the sea in Christ is bigger, for example, than the sea in cancer. And the same thing is true in your situation. If you stand firm, yes, you will suffer persecution, But this is the lot of all Christians, and we see that delineated in Scripture in the most beautiful way. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, I call it the Faith Hall of Fame chapter in the Bible, you see people who were shipwrecked and beaten and beheaded. They went out in rags. They lost their social positions. They faced all the indignities that one human being can foist upon another human being. And yet, in the midst of all of that, they remained not only true to their faith, but they ended up being that great cloud of witnesses that is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 12. So I think what's important as you go through persecution is to take the long view. The long view is that you look at your life not in sort of a momentary way. Our life is but a moment, a vapor, here today, gone tomorrow. But we look at it from the standpoint of eternity. And when we do that, our light and momentary problems, whatever they may be, will pale in perspective to God's goodness and grace. But what you're talking about, let me elaborate on that, Susanna. The great German universities, they were founded by Christians. They were overtaken before World War II by all kinds of ideological liberalisms. And that moved those church-founded schools to scoff at Christianity. And then Christianity was expelled from the halls of learning. And what happened in the great German universities 100 years before World War II is precisely what is happening in post-Christian America. Anti-Christian criticism in the American universities is rampant. There's a condescending view of Christianity as sort of an outdated, a dangerous myth, a myth for those who are weak of mind. And I was reading in Hope of Nations, the book that we make available for those who support the ministry all this month, I was reading there about Princeton. And here's another example, Susanna, that applies very much to your situation. Here is the revoking by Princeton of an award. This happened to be an award for Pastor Timothy Keller. He was scheduled to receive that reward from Princeton. But guess what? Due to Keller's biblical position on sexual morality, you end up having that award revoked. And that is the culmination of post-truth in America turning into a post-Christian, anti-Christian view within the American Ivy League universities, but the universities in America in general, and certainly in the state of Seattle. And so, yeah, this is a very, very difficult situation. I'm not making light of it in any way, but I can tell you that if you are firm to your convictions, God will bless you, if not in this world, in the world to come.
Yes, thank you, Ham. That was very encouraging. I needed to hear that, and yes, I need to stay firm, and even if it means losing my job, I thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome, and I am so, so happy that you called today. We live in a very, very dangerous and difficult time. You think about the changes that are in store for all of us as we are transitioning in our culture. The first openly trans person to win the gubernatorial nomination of a major political party is a transgender woman. She just won Vermont's Democratic gubernatorial race. And this is lauded as a defining moment in the United States. And this woman does not even know, and she was interviewed on television recently, and I saw the interview, she doesn't even know what socialism is. And, you know, this is one of the problems that we have in general. And in the book that I was talking about a moment again, Hope of Nations, again, available for those who support the ministry, subtitled Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World. John Dickerson, who was an award-winning journalist, now a pastor, points out that 18 to 29-year-old Americans are more likely to have a positive view of socialism today than capitalism. And that is a scary turn of events. This is the first generation of Americans ever polled in which more Americans prefer socialism to capitalism. I was reading an article by Walter Williams in the Daily Wire. And in that article, Williams was comparing capitalism with socialism. And he's pointing out in that comparison that capitalism brings a whole lot more satisfaction to our lives than does socialism. Because it turns out that we seldom find people upset with, in conflict with, computer or clothing stores. We do, however, see people dissatisfied with, and often in conflict with, boards of education or sanitation services. So what are the differences? Well, for one, the motivation for the provision of services of computer and clothing stores is profit. So if you're dissatisfied with what they're giving you, with the product, you can fire them. You simply take your business somewhere else. But it's a different matter with public education or with sanitation. If you're dissatisfied, it's impossible to fire them because they're not motivated by profit at all. And a much larger and totally ignored question has to do with the brutality of socialism. In the 20th century, the one-party socialist states of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, USSR, a lot of people don't know what USSR stands for, does stand for the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or Germany, Germany under the National Socialist German Workers' Party, or China, the People's Republic of China. They were responsible for over 100 million murders. You don't find that record of brutality in countries that tend towards free market capitalism. So do an experiment, says Walter Williams. List countries according to whether they are closer to free market capitalism or closer to socialist, communist end of the economic spectrum. And then rank the countries according to per capita gross domestic product. Rank the countries according to Freedom House's Freedom in the World report. And what will you find? Well, you'll find that people who live in countries closer to the free market capitalist end of the economic spectrum not only have far greater wealth than people who live in countries towards the socialist communist end, but they also enjoy far greater human rights protection. And Dr. Thomas Sowell, an economist, talks about this. He points out that socialism sounds great. It's always sounded great. And it will probably always continue to sound great. It's great in theory. It is only when you go beyond rhetoric, when you start looking at hard facts, that socialism turns out to be a big disappointment, a disaster. So the problem here is in universities, in schools today, the education has been dumbed down. People don't know about Western civilization. They don't take Western civ classes anymore. They don't know about economics. All they know is what they hear repeated over and over again. They can't discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. And as a result of that, they fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. Whether it's Susanna's situation, where people think that somehow or other the Christian views are outdated, and therefore if you express them, you're expressing bigotry, and as a result of that, you face persecution, or whether we're talking about how millennials will vote in the next election. It's all a function of not being familiar with truth. And that is our goal at the Christian Research Institute, to make people so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you will know it instantaneously. Well, we're coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
There is no denying it. We live in a post-truth, post-Christian world. But do not despair. Noting that times of great social upheaval are times of great spiritual opportunity, John S. Dickerson writes, "You can live the adventure of this era with great purpose. You can know with confidence that the Creator of this universe has appointed you with your gifts to bring light and life to this moment in human history. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership,
Call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI, or simply visit our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to our phone callers. First up is Anthony, listening in Boston, Massachusetts, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right, I want to thank you very much for your ministry and everything you do. I've called in a couple times, and I really, really, truly appreciate the amount of thought and your experience that you put towards this show and all the books that you do. It's just such a great, great resource in regards to somebody who wants to walk with Christ and try to understand more in the, you know, and what God's trying to say to us. So thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you for those kind words.
So my question is that I'm in a little bit of a study here, and I've been doing my own studies in regards to Romans 5, 12 through 21, and it's such an incredible passage. I really kind of wanted to get your take on it. And then I just heard the other day, and I just heard the commercial, information that if we become partners with you, we could actually get the Bible answer book that you actually written. So I think I'm going to do that. I think that's very important to kind of do that. But I wanted to get your take on what you thought of that Romans 12 through 21, how they make that reference between Adam and Christ and how they're connected.
Yeah. You know, in fact, Paul elsewhere, outside of Romans, in Corinthians, talks about a first Adam and a last Adam, or a first Adam and a second Adam. And so there is a correlation between the two. The second Adam did what the first Adam could not do. And so the correlation that is made in Romans is that if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of God by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. So what we have is one man's offense creates death, and then life comes through the one Jesus Christ. So as you've correctly codified the question, there's a correlation between the two. So just as immortality is far superior to morality, so also the grace of Christ extends beyond death, beyond the death we inherited from Adam. Justification in Christ far exceeds condemnation through Adam. And through Christ's obedience, therefore, healing is brought to the human will. And therefore, many are made righteous and are able by grace to participate in God's righteousness. So the contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, or the last Adam, Jesus Christ, is perhaps most poignant in this passage, in the Romans 5 passage that you refer to?
Mm. Wow. Very, very insightful. You know, what pops in my mind is, and of course, I'm sure that everybody who studies the word must come up with questions like, well, how come this didn't happen? How come that didn't happen? I often wonder why, well, of course we can't think like God. Of course we can't. I understand that. It's just unfathomable. I think you had said one time, God is out of the scope of time, space, and matter. How could we have ever, you know, think like he does? He created it. And I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, well, basically, I'm paraphrasing as well when I say that, because, you know, this is what was said to Job. You know, Job wonders why God does what he does. And God thunders back through the storm saying, you don't even understand how I create a tiny drop of dew. How can you understand what is going on in the heavenlies? And the takeaway from all of that is, though we don't understand, though we can't fully comprehend, God has given us enough information so that we can trust him. It sort of falls in line with the Pascal quote, you know, God dwells in enough light so that if we want to know him, we can know him, and he dwells in enough obscurity so if we don't want to know him, we won't know him. In the same way, we know enough about God so that we can trust him. And that's where we have to leave it, because God ultimately is, in theological terms, he is ineffable. He is beyond our knowing. He is beyond our ken. On the other hand, and this is the antinomy, he's incarnate, and we can know him in the incarnation. So on the one hand, he's unknowable. On the other hand, he's become knowable in the person and work of Jesus Christ. But as I've said before, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, even in eternity, we will not fully ever come to an end of knowing God. In other words, the more we learn, the more there will be to learn. And that is not only about God, primarily, however, about God, but it's also about God's created handiwork. Let me go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Cisco, listening in Houston, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Cisco.
How you doing, Hank?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. I had a question about the old law. How do you decide the difference between the old law and what passes over to the new law, and is the old law just a way for people to be saved before Jesus? Can you maybe give me a little clarity on that?
Yeah, well, there are different aspects to law, and I think that's implicit in what you're asking and the way that you framed the question. So not all law is the same. There are different uses of the law in Scripture. So the law in Scripture is useful in revealing sin. In that way, it's known as the schoolmaster that drives us to Jesus Christ. The law can also be understood from the perspective of maintaining order within society. The law can likewise be understood as a guide for the believer in living out the Christian life. And scripturally, we see broad aspects of the law. So in the Old Testament, we see the civil aspect of the law, which was largely a function of God ruling directly over a people. And we see the ceremonial aspects of the law. And they were pointers. They pointed to Christ and ultimately are fulfilled in Christ. And that's why we can say that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats, because one is a type and the other is fulfilled in the antitype, Jesus Christ. And therefore, the sacrificial system, the dietary laws and so forth, along with the civil aspects of the law, are no longer efficacious for us today. But there is the moral aspect of the law, and that applies to us today. In other words, the commandments, the Ten Commandments, they apply to us today because they relate for us how we are to relate to God and how we are to relate to those made in the image and likeness of God. So the New Testament emphasis is on grace, but the law remains our guide for living out the Christian life. Not legalism, but the law remains a guide.
Okay, so pretty much just not sacrificing animals and stuff like that in Passover, but everything else?
Well, not everything else. I mean, so for example, the dietary laws that I mentioned, Jesus says it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that ultimately defiles him, but that which proceeds from the heart. And Jesus, in saying that, declared all things clean. So the point is all food's clean. And so the point is the dietary laws are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So there were pointers to something when the something comes, or the someone in this case comes. We don't need the types in the shadows. In fact, Hebrews goes so far as to say that if you go back to types and shadows when the sacrificial lamb has come, it is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ.
See, what kind of brought up this question, I was talking with a guy, and I'm sure you've heard this same situation before, that tithing 10% is under the old law and under the new law in the New Testament. He said, show me where it says 10%. And I was like, well, I'm not too sure how to answer that question without misleading him.
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things about that. One is a universal principle. So Moses says we tithe so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. And learning to reverence God always is a universal principle. It is just as applicable today as it was in the Old Testament times. But not only that, we see that Jesus Christ never abrogated, never once abrogated the idea of tithing. So long after Moses, he instead reaffirms the practice of tithing. I think you find that in Matthew 23, but not for outward appearances, but as an outward expression of an inward reality. And the corollary to this, of course, is that tithing for us in the New Testament should be seen not as being abrogated, but rather as pointing to something greater. And that something greater, and again, you could think about this as type as an anti-type, is free will giving, meaning that if you look at the New Testament, what you see there is an idea of holding everything that we have, our time, our talent, and our treasure with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. And I've often said that there's no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we would catch the joy of contagious giving that the war generation had. And if we did, we'd be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, which we are shirking our responsibility to do. We'd be enabled to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, to care for the sick. We would be able to found great centers of Christian education. We would be able to do all of those great things if only the training wheels of tithing come off and open us to a world of free will giving, which then becomes our playground, a playground in which we can make a difference while there is yet time. Up against a hard break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth.
And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible answer book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. When did it become normal for us to expect news of another terror attack, mass shooting, or act of evil? We're not living through typical shifts in a stable society. The tectonic plates are rupturing beneath our civilization. John S. Dickerson wants to help you understand what is happening to our world and prepare you to live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. Together, we can live with unshakable purpose in a changing world. To receive Hope of Nations, Standing Strong in a Post-Truth, Post-Christian World by John S. Dickerson, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy, the quote of the day comes from Anjum Chowdhury, writing in USA Today. He said this: contrary to popular misconception, Islam does not mean peace, but rather means submission to the commands of Allah alone. Therefore, Muslims do not believe in the concept of freedom of expression, as their speech and actions are determined by divine revelation and not based on people's desires. Muslims considered the honor of the Prophet Muhammad to be dearer to them than that of their parents or even themselves. And to defend it is considered to be an obligation upon them. The strict punishment, if found guilty of this crime, dishonoring the Prophet under Sharia or under Islamic law, is capital punishment that is to be implemented by the Islamic State. This is because the Messenger Muhammad said, "Whoever insults a prophet, kill him." It is time that the sanctity of a prophet revered by up to one quarter of the world's population was protected. And what that means, in essence, is that you can't say anything about Muhammad without risking your life, because it is incumbent upon Muslims, and that's the import of the quote, to eradicate those that say something about Muhammad. But let me say something about Muhammad. The distance between Muhammad and Christ is the distance of infinity. Muhammad married Aisha when she was but 6 years old, consummated the marriage when she was nine. Muhammad had sex slaves, female sex slaves. Jesus Christ was a counter-cultural revolutionary who put women on the same level as men, and that within, well, a civilization that rendered women but chattel. And in the Bible, you have such a big difference from what you have in the Quran. The Bible saying that in Christ there's no male or female, that there's complete ontological equality. But that equality does not exist in Islam. In Islam, women are denigrated. A man can have four wives. A woman can't have four husbands. But a man can have four wives. And Muhammad could have many more. He had a divine exception. So the distance between Jesus Christ and Muhammad is the distance of infinity. And I have no qualms in saying that. In fact, I wrote about that in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Tom in Wisconsin, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've been listening to your show for 20-plus years, and I've just gleaned so much good Bible knowledge from you. My question is, or it's not really a question, but everything you just said is relating to this Muslim guy that I was talking to, Islam. And he said, if you can show me book, chapter, and verse where it says that Muhammad did this, Muhammad says to do that, contrary to what the Bible says, you know, in the contrast between the two, he said, I might think about giving my life to Jesus. So with that being said, I needed some information, not a big video or anything, just something I can book, chapter, verse, to put some contrast on there of what the Quran says compared to what the Bible says. You know, kill the infidels, the marriage with four wives, and et cetera, things like that.
Sure. Well, you know, that's why I wrote my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. In that book, one of the main themes is that contrast is the mother of clarity. And so I contrast the biblical perspective with the Quranic perspective. But if you want to see some short contrast, think about this. Think about the commandment, you shall not murder, Exodus 20. Well, in the Quran, you have quite the opposite. You shall murder. For example, Islamic terrorist attacks are directly mandated by Allah, who spoke to Muslim devotees, and he says this in Quran 47:4, when you meet the unbelievers, smite at their necks. That's pretty clear. You have the Bible saying you shall not commit adultery. The Quran saying you shall commit adultery. From the very beginning, Allah provided all Muslims with the divine sanction of having adulterous sex with captured females. you shall steal, in contrast to you shall not steal, as we're told in the commandments. You know, Allah made it clear that Muslims are permitted to steal, but only from unbelievers. And so he commands Muslims not only to steal, but also to relish the process of stealing from unbelievers. After casting terror into the hearts of the people of the book, he advises Muslims to steal their houses and their goods. You can find that in Quran 33, 26 through 27. One of my favorites in terms of contrast being the mother of clarity. We're told in Exodus 20, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Well, the Quran says precisely the opposite. You shall give false testimony against your neighbor. And the way this works is that people are taught through the Quran that you can mislead someone. And then you have the horror of Quran 5:33 that says the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive to make mischief in the land, in other words, counter Islam, is only this, that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off from opposite sides, and they should be imprisoned. This will be a disgrace for them in this world, and in the hereafter, they shall have a grievous chastisement. Again, that's Quran 5:33. And by the way, the spokespersons for CARE in the United States in particular have mastered the art of telling the truth, but not the whole truth, with the intention to mislead. Their goal is always the same, to conceal from disbelievers dogmas that they would otherwise find abhorrent or offensive. And many other examples could be given. I think of a section of Reliance of the Traveler, which is a classic manual of Islamic sacred law. And in this classic manual on Islamic sacred law, we have the following statement. And I'm quoting directly now. I just opened my book to it. The scriptural basis for jihad, prior to scholarly consensus, is found in such Quranic verses as. So this is a classic manual on Islamic sacred law. I got to underscore that. That's what I'm reading. So Quranic verses such as, fighting is prescribed for you, Quran 2:216. Slay them wherever you find them, Quran 4:89. Fight the idolaters utterly, Quran 9:36. I have been commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and perform the prayer and pay zakat. If they say it, they have saved their blood and possessions from me, except for the rights of Islam over them. And their final reckoning is with Allah. And the hadith reported by Muslim, to go forth in the morning or evening to fight in the path of Allah is better than the whole world and everything in it. Again, this comes from a classic manual, a quintessential manual on sacred Islamic or Sharia law. And that quote you can find in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. So many, many passages could be given. And again, one of the points that I make in the book is contrast is the mother of clarity. So I'm contrasting what the Bible teaches with what the Quran teaches, and the distinction between the two is epic. Let me go quickly back to the phone lines, talk to Kevin in Apple Valley, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. I am thinking of when Christ was in front of the Sanhedrin, and he referred to himself, if I remember correctly, he was saying something about you shall see the Son of Man coming in glory. Does Son of Man also imply divinity? Because they got so angry at him. Does Son of God and Son of Man, do those both imply divinity?
Yeah, absolutely they do. Son of God is a moniker which identifies Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. And as the Son of God, he has the eternal divine perfection of God. Son, by the way, is not meant in a physical sense. It signifies that he shares the same nature with God the Father. But now, Son of Man, to your question, in a general sense, we can all say that if we're a descendant of Adam, we are sons of man. But in a specific sense, Son of Man refers to Christ. It appears some 78 times in the Gospels. Christ calls himself Son of Man to answer your question directly, not because he denied his deity, but to show his compassion and love for all of humankind. And so when Jesus Christ says that he is the Son of Man, he is very, very clearly affirming that he is God. So Caiaphas and the high priest, they ask him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus says, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. And then Jesus combines his remark in two ways. You have Daniel 7 and Psalm 110, and by doing that, he's claiming that he would sit on the throne of Israel's God and share God's very glory. So yes, by saying that to Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, he is, of course, saying that he is God. It is a moniker that points to the fact that he is, in fact, deity. My apologies to everybody that I couldn't get to today. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Do remember Hope of Nations, available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In the Great Evangelical Recession, the award-winning journalist and pastor John S. Dickerson identifies two factors that are severely eroding the American church and offers biblical solutions to prepare us for spiritual success, even in the face of alarming trends. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up.
This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.